I think that, you know, I've often been asked this question, especially since I started being more out about having multiple partners, because of course, I mean, once everyone gets past the scandal and wants to ask about the sex and the jealousy and stuff like that, you know, people start asking the questions of like, well, what about getting married? Yes.
Who
what
do
about
you like the most?
Oh, gosh.
Right.
Get that question.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast.
On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're talking about relationship goals. Hashtag relationship goals. It's had its heyday a few years ago, but the concept is still a huge part of our culture. Every day we're presented with information about what we should be working toward in our relationships, but are those goals all they're cracked up to be? Today we're going to be exploring some of those goals, as well as looking at ways to help you choose goals that won't come back to bite you.
Duh, you don't want your goals to get all bitey.
Like a piranha goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can say with 99% certainty, I don't think I've ever actually used the hashtag relationship goals in any social media post.
Oh, I definitely put it on some of our social media posts for Multiamory. So,
well, that's,
so by
proxy, yeah. You have. Sorry to let you know.
Well, okay. Well, I'll give an exception for the Multiamory official Instagram account. But Jace, have you ever actually used hashtag relationship goals?
I don't think so. Possibly, ironically, at some point.
No, probably. But, probably. Yeah.
You know, that's...
Yeah, I think maybe only in irony I've used it. Or just been like, this is funny. Relationship goals. But I guess people do actually say that. I mean, I remember when, like, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, like, everyone was like, hashtag relationship
goals.
Yeah,
that
was See, I thought it was the
one.
Barack Obama and Joe Biden that everyone
well, that
was
one
like,
well, that one
hashtag
too.
Relationship
yeah.
goals.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Pretty much a lot of celebrity couples, everyone's like, hashtag relationship goals. Any kind of power couple, hashtag relationship goals. Any kind of, like, fictional characters they've shipped together, hashtag relationship goals.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. But let's get down to business today and talk about what is the general population referring to when they write hashtag relationship goals.
Well, I can tell you what Urban Dictionary thinks.
Please do.
Which I guess it is essentially what the general population thinks.
Well, that's kind of a scary claim to make.
Yeah.
Maybe. But actually, I figured that these two that we decided to say to the audience, that is pretty much probably what I think of, at least, when people say hashtag relationship goals. So the first one is going to be a couple who are the best couple out there. They are the power couple. Everyone wants to be like them.
Mm,
and nice. Number two is the most fucked up way of saying I want a relationship like theirs.
Kind of hit the nail on the head there, I suppose.
Yeah.
I like that we went from last week using Urban Dictionary and being like, wow, this is actually like a pretty good definition. And then this week it's the usual Urban Dictionary.
Well, it's not necessarily a poor definition of what it is.
It's functional definition.
It's fairly accurate, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because it's true, because that's what it gets applied to, you know, social media posts of power couples, whatever the heck a power couple is. I think to be a power couple, you have to be rich and or famous. And then by default, you're a power couple, right?
Sure.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, maybe.
It's hard for me to think of, when I hear the phrase power couple, it's hard for me to think of normal people, even though I think legitimately normal people are power couples if they're, you know, rocking it and kicking ass and taking names. But I mean, just kind of in the most superficial sense, it seems like you have to have some kind of celebrity or wealth status.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so kind of as a funny side note, the term relationship goals, as Jay said, it did kind of have its heyday. It has been on a downward trend as far as popular usage goes. According to Google, which does track these things, usage of the term spiked in June 2015. What happened in June 2015?
I mean, that was probably the heyday of the Obama-Biden relationship goals.
Yeah, there was like, I thought of Vogue... spread of Michelle and Barack Obama. I thought of them just like looking gorgeous and powerful and stunning and regal. And I feel like maybe that's when that happened. I don't know. Hmm. Don't quote me on that, everyone. But I feel like perhaps that was the time. And then Trump came into office and that all changed.
Everyone lost their sense of hope for their relationships.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. That is funny. In June 2015, I was going through a really toxic breakup.
Yeah.
So that was the time.
Anyway, since then, it's been steadily decreasing in usage ever since. Upon searching it, I couldn't quite find, like, is there a particular term that is rising to glory that is going to be the replacement for hashtag relationship goals? Or, like, I just wonder what's the next thing that the kids are going to latch on to as far as how they point out the people and relationships that they find the most inspiring.
I guess
we're not there yet.
I would probably be the last person to know that answer.
Because you're the oldest man.
It's true. Yeah.
Ever to live.
First man.
Yeah. That Ryan Gosling movie was actually about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do want to clarify, this episode is not actually about hashtag relationship goals. This is not an episode where we're going to do a deep dive into the history of that trending hashtag from 2015.
Wow. Spoke a little too soon.
That would be weird.
Yeah. What this is actually about is kind of the concept of relationship goals. And this can look like a few different things, right? So the example we've been giving so far, and what that hashtag was usually used for, was not usually talking about a specific relationship goal, but more like, my goal is to be like them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is about them that I've identified is not always clear.
Yeah, I feel like often it was just like, they are cute and they're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Hashtag relationship goals. It's right. Just like, they have a relationship. And
therefore relationship goals. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not immediately apparent whether or not it's falling apart. So hashtag relationship goals.
Right.
Interesting.
Or it seems sweet, or I think they're attractive, or I think they're rich, or, you know, whatever it is. Relationship goals.
Relationship goals.
Yes.
Yeah. But on the other hand, there's also a lot of goals that we either grow up having about relationships, which are, you know, sort of the typical, like, fairy tale story, like, since you're a little kid, imagining this certain future for yourself, those sorts of goals. Mm. Or they're goals that are more directly imposed upon you by, like, your parents asking, you know, when are you going to get married? When are you going to have kids? Whatever it may be in your case. And so we're kind of talking about all of that in general, like this idea of having your goals for your relationships come from, I want to be like this thing about these people, or I want to hit a specific milestone, or I want to do a certain thing, and kind of really examining that and not just taking for granted, like, oh yeah, those are just goals, of course.
Yeah, I think often when we start out as young people, just because society tells us to, like, we have all these boxes that we need to check as we move forward in our life. So, you know, sometimes that first box is just going to be like finding a partner, finding a steady partner or a partner with whom you are going steady, you know, and then from there, there is like the normal, I guess, trajectory of like where your life is headed. Mm-hmm. And people, I think, so often don't really stop to think about, is that something that I want for my life? And we've talked about this before in the fashion of relationship escalators. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your relationship escalator, again, will move you in one direction and that's it. And that's, you know, you're always striving to like check the next box or get the next goal. And that's it. And I guess we'll move on from there and kind of talk about what some of those things are.
Yeah. I mean, just to take a quick second about the relationship escalator for someone who might just be joining us today, like, if we could kind of summarize the concept, right? And it's that idea that relationships, like Emily said, only move in one direction and that we think about
them. Or else they're a failure.
Or else they're a failure. Like, you don't go backward on it. You just sort of break up. Mm. Or, and then also the idea that they're always moving like upward and forward, that there's this sense of like, where's the relationship going? Where is it heading? Like, is it progressing? As if there's like a clear linear like progress toward ? And that's sort of the relationship escalator, right? Is that idea of just like, you just got to keep going up that one direction or you get off.
Yeah.
And at the top of that escalator is, it's It's dying together.
It's dying, yeah.
Really? Essentially.
Hashtag relationship goals.
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I mean, wow. Gosh. Okay, sorry.
Well, no, but really, just... like, isn't that what so many people out there think? Like, it's so romantic that, like, I'm going to live with my partner until the day I die, or, yeah, you know, we'll die within a certain amount of months from one another.
I think... I think it is not romantic. Yeah, yeah, it's not romantic, but it's definitely kind of like, if you follow this to its logical conclusion, it's like a quote-unquote successful relationship is one that ends with the two of you dying and, in theory, not marrying anyone else, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so what are some of these relationship escalator goals? We've talked about them before. Let's talk about them again.
Right. So like Emily mentioned, kind of first one is just finding a partner at all. The idea that, you know, you in your life are more valuable if you have a partner, right? Mm. We're kind of told that idea of like, oh, you don't have a partner. You must be unhappy. Mm. And then number two, well, these next two can sometimes be in a different order depending on your beliefs. But the next one could be like living together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, it's this idea of like, oh, well, your relationship's not really that serious unless you're living together. Or, well, obviously that would be the goal of your relationship, is to get to a point where you would live together.
Yeah. The next one, which again maybe comes before moving in together, but it's marrying someone. And specifically, especially I think in today's society, and definitely maybe in society of old, it was marrying someone who was financially supportive or emotionally supportive based on, you know, what you both want in a relationship, I guess. And often some people would be the more emotional support of the family and others would be more of the financial support of the family. Obviously, sometimes that all has to convalesce and, you know, both partners or both parents have to do all of the jobs of being emotionally and financially supportive. But at times, those two things are separate in certain households. And the next one is when two become one.
When two become one.
Meaning like...
It's a little too old for you guys.
I have no idea what that was.
Are you referring to banging?
No. I'm referring to the idea that like you become... Like individuals become a we. Like an us. Like we are going to get a dog together. And we are going to this party. And we are, you know, whatever, any of those things. Just that essentially the identity of the individual is left for the identity of the partnership.
I see. Sorry, I brought up the whole banging thing because of my religious upbringing. There was so much, thank you for the synonym, there was just so much emphasis on... You know, there's the
this
verse.
This is that, after marriage.
Well, but there's the verse in the Bible that's like, when two become one flesh, you know, referring to the
first... We haven't gotten there yet in drunk Bible study,
Not quite.
When is that? Oh my gosh, I'm excited.
Oh, we got a while to go. But yes, this idea that, you know, sex is also tied to your identities and your very souls merging together. And that's why it is so, so, so important to not just have sex willy-nilly.
Because then you become one person...
With multiple people, and you can't.
And then it's a time paradox.
Exactly.
And the universes start collapsing on themselves.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
Got it. Wow.
So other relationship escalator goals could involve buying a home together or buying some kind of property together.
Having a mortgage.
Yes, having a mortgage together. Having children together. Super common one.
I mean, retiring together. Like the idea of kind of spending your leisure years... Hanging out.
Your twilight years? Your golden years? What is it?
Any one of them.
I really like leisure years.
Leisure.
Because that's what I want the emphasis to be on in those years. Not on twilight, not on gold, just on leisure.
Nice.
And then, you know, related to that is this idea of growing old and then dying together.
And staying together forever and not divorcing.
Yeah.
Yeah, forever until you die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with any of these goals. Like, we're not saying you're silly for wanting this or it's absurd to pursue this. We just want to urge people to be mindful when it comes to their own relationship goal setting and their own life goal setting. That it's, you know, I think back to our episode where we interviewed Amy Guerin, who wrote the Relationship Escalator book. how she mentioned, like, this is in the air that we breathe, you know, this is like we're fish and this is the water that we swim in, is this relationship escalator, this progression. And so it does require just some analysis and some critical thinking, you know, to really examine and see, like, what are the things that I do actually want? And what are the things that I just feel like I should expect or that I should be pursuing, but I don't know if I actually even want them or not. Because, I know I've definitely fallen victim to just kind of assuming, like, well, this is what's going to come next. And I pursue the next step, which could be, like, living with someone or becoming exclusive with someone, and then realize right afterwards, oh, wait, I didn't actually want that. And there's kind of this disconnect and this dissonance when I realize, like, wait, but everyone tells me that I should want this, or everyone tells me that, like, when I do move in with this person, that it should become more intimate and feel better, but it doesn't. And I don't understand why, you know, this was like so many years ago before I started actually thinking critically about these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like it's not always so clear of, like, I really want this goal and then I get it and I realize, oh, I didn't want that. But sometimes it's like years later, you kind of go, huh, maybe that's why I kind of felt that, like, disillusionment or this sense of, like, what's wrong with me that I don't feel as happy as I've been told I should feel at this point, or why I don't feel as invested in this thing that I felt like was such an important goal. Like, that's not always so obvious right away.
It's not. I mean, but definitely, I think, as you said, it is really important to think critically about it, just because if you don't, there can be some consequences in your life as time goes on. And the things that I'm about to talk about, that we all are about to talk about, they don't necessarily just happen, obviously, because you're doing something in your life that you don't want. It can be a variety of things that lead to these. But I think that it also is kind of a systemic in a way. Like, it can breed this idea that, you know, my life is occurring in a way that I didn't expect or that I didn't really want, just because I'm doing the thing that everybody does and it's ultimately not making me happy. So again, like, I urge people to actually think about it before going and taking the plunge of doing something like creating a life and bringing it into the world without really being like, is that something that I want, or am I just doing it because I feel pressured into doing it? I have so many examples of this in my family and in my own life and in my, you know, people who have been my partners, their parents who were absent for them. Just I see it over and over and over again. So to me, that really means something.
Yeah. It makes me think of, gosh, this happened several years ago. I think this even happened back in my monogamous days, that somehow I typed in a URL to a website wrong and it redirected me to someone's like wedding page.
Oh,
I think
wow.
It was kind of at the beginning of that trend of couples making a website for their wedding.
This is our wedding website.
Okay.
Yeah, where it'd be like, you know, you could RSVP, you could access their gift registry, you could see their cute, you know, engagement photos. Mm-hmm. And this one, they happened to also write a little bit of their story. And I remember feeling so bad because their story was just like Allie met Jim at such and such place. And then they were together for like about 2 years. And then Jim proposed because Allie started dropping hints that like, maybe it's just about that time to get married. And it was like, I think I actually retold it better than it was written, because I remember that the way that it was written, it was really like so not inspired. Literally the story was like, he proposed because she was like, hey, when are you going to propose, basically.
Right.
And I was like,
but that's not uncommon.
That's the thing.
Yes,
I was going to say,
know.
Like 98% of people who read that wedding site didn't even question that.
Is that
didn't
an official number,
that.
Jace?
Yeah, I don't know if that's like necessarily.
I did a study real quick.
Okay.
No, but just like, think about it. I would have read that years ago and been like, yeah, okay, that's just, yeah, duh, that's normal. That's just normal life. Not thinking like, wait a minute, that's kind of a weird reason to get married to someone.
Yeah,
like honestly, that would not even have occurred to me.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Well, I guess to be fair, I was in a relationship once where, well, gosh, I forget how long we've been together, but he had started talking about wanting to live together, and I was like, I don't know, but like I started looking at places still, and I started thinking about it, and but I was still like in my gut, I was still just like, I'm just like really not ready for this. And that was part of the reason why we broke up, is because, like, I think we got into this conversation where it's like, he was just like, this is, it's time for us to move in together. That's just
it's
how
time.
Exactly. It's time. And I feel sad about it now, because it's like, in the past, that conversation, it meant like, well, if for me, it's not time, that means the relationship has to end, you know? And it's like, there were other reasons for the relationship to end, but I feel like now I would have much better access to being able to be like, it's okay if it's time for you, but it's not time for me. Like, we can figure something else out. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, if we're moving backwards on the escalator, then we need to break up.
Yeah. Or if we're even just not moving forward.
Yes, that too. That too. But yeah, I am glad that I didn't go through with it, because I know that it definitely would have been like a, like, I don't know, I moved up on the escalator and this didn't work, essentially. Like, this didn't bring me any happiness or any closeness or intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. As I sort of previewed, what are some consequences of having or going through with relationship escalator goals when you don't actually want them?
Yeah. So first on our list here is infidelity. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, I think the popular narrative is just like, oh, well, people who cheat are bad people, or they're dishonest, or whatever. Right. And there's obviously a lot more nuance to it. But part of it, I think, can come from, you know, people have been told, like, you do these things, or you take these steps, or you find this type of person, and then you'll be happy and you'll be satisfied. And when it doesn't work out exactly like they were told, then, like, there's sort of this, like, well, something's wrong with me then, or something's wrong with this, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Which, you know, could lead to infidelity, thing number two is just sort of like emotional unavailability, kind of checking out mentally or emotionally from the relationship, or just kind of like shutting down and withdrawing.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think related to that, to like the emotional availability or checking out or shutting down, there can be actual physical availability, you know, like Emily mentioned, you know, a parent who's never around, a parent who's like totally disengaged from their child's upbringing, or someone who, I mean, honestly, like, I've known a number of relationships where people just like up and leave, you know, like they can't even handle renegotiating something or even being able to have a proper breakup. It's just like, I just gotta leave, you know?
Well, yeah, you hear about like those stories of women having a child and then the man bounces.
Yeah, I mean, that's really
common. And I'm sure that, like, that happens both ways, but yeah, it is common, absolutely.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
And it's like, well, I guess they just didn't want it or something? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's sometimes, I think it's more complex than just a, like, a black and white didn't want it, for sure. But, I mean, there's definitely cases of people, you know, people that I've known personally who have had kids, and of course they love their children. It's not like they hate their children, but it's definitely a case of, like, I wasn't ready for this life milestone. I wasn't ready for this particular goal.
Yeah.
But I felt like I had to, or I felt like I was running out of time, or I felt like I needed to in order for us to have a cohesive marriage or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, someone in my family, I won't say who, but they literally gave up their baby to their sibling because they just couldn't. They all of their friends were having kids, and they realized that it was not what they wanted, even though they decided to have a child and go through with the kid and birthing the kid and all that. And then they were like, nope, not gonna do this. And so they gave the kid up.
Yeah.
I read this really, really fascinating but depressing study. And it was a study that, it didn't take place in the States. It took place in, I think it was in a certain European country, basically where, but it was still a relatively very traditional country, where there were still some very traditional expectations around gender roles and about women being obliged to have children and to, you know, be the reproducers, essentially. And it was just, I don't know, it was just like such a sad study of like talking to women who'd had children, like, and who really hadn't had a choice in it, and like just talking about like the love they feel for their children, but also this like such intense like regret and pain around not being able to actually actively choose that for themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, gosh. Anyway, sorry, like I said, I didn't mean to turn this into a bummer.
No, but,
just,
I think it's really freaking important to talk about. And that's why, like, yeah, I mean, my mom didn't have me until she was 38 because she was like, I was not ready until I was ready. Mm-hmm. And I would not have you until I really wanted to, kind of thing. And if I didn't, then I wasn't going to. And I think that's important.
But also your mom was in a position to be able to make that choice. You know,
yeah,
also
no, you're absolutely
aren't.
Right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And I think that that is a privilege that clearly not everybody has. And it is really tough.
Right. Right. Yeah. Anyway, I want to do a whole other episode about women's choices to or to not reproduce. Yeah. But that'll be some other time. Because going along, you know, I think a really obvious one here is just divorce. You know, the divorce rate, because I think we've seen what the results have been of a culture where people feel like marriage is compulsory to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we've seen the fallout of that in divorce, as divorce has become more acceptable. Like, I think especially among our parents' generation, you know, that's just been kind of the byproduct of that. And then also just general life unhappiness. You know, I've come up across this with working with some clients that sometimes, I think it's kind of similar to the frustration that I experienced in my own relationships of feeling like I took this step, I made this investment in the relationship, why do I not feel good about it? Or why do I not feel happy? You know, maybe I love my partner, but why do I feel frustrated and depressed and anxious? And sometimes it can be the result of, you know, moving to a particular goal that you're just like not quite ready for.
Yeah. And like you said, moving to those goals can lead to things like depression and also things like coping mechanisms. So that means drugs, alcohol, various ways of figuring out how to cope with a life in a situation that you're not either ready for or that you don't really want. If you don't feel as though you should get divorced, I mean, I've met people who are like, well, I don't believe in divorce. Mm. It says one should not get divorced in the Bible. And so I'm prepared to stay in a loveless marriage for the rest of my life. Mm. And, you know, looking for coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
In that way.
Yeah. Actually, the comedian Mike Birbiglia, who's one of my favorites, he, in one of his stand-up sets, he actually gets kind of serious in talking about an early relationship of his that was kind of on this relationship escalator and where he kind of felt this pressure of like, oh, she really wants to get married and she really wants to have kids. And like that pain of feeling like there's no way that I can say no to this because saying no is going to mean the disillusion of everything. And so I just go along and say yes and say yes and say yes and say like, yeah, we're going to get married next summer. And yeah, we're going to do this. And even though he knew in his body the entire time, he knew it was not true, but he still had to say yes. And for him, it manifested physically, you know, and having like terrible sleep disorders and anxiety all the time and panic attacks. And
oh, is that the guy who like sleepwalked?
Yes,
is that sleepwalk with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually like cheating on his girlfriend as well. You know, like a lot of these things manifested because of the fact that he, you know, he knew he was moving forward with something that like he just really wasn't ready for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do want to start turning this around and talking about more the, you know, the positive side of things and not just the bummer sides of things. But I do want to take a quick interlude on this common question that I get, that all of us have gotten at various points in our lives. And I think we're all familiar with this question. It comes up in rom-coms. It comes up in real life. And it's this, you know, like, well, what are we doing? Where's the relationship going? You know, where are we headed? Right. And there's kind of this underlying sense of like, we need to keep things moving. We need to keep going up the escalator, you know, or else things are going to stagnate. So it's kind of like, you know, what are we doing? Are you going to ask me to marry you or not? Are we going to have a baby or not? Are we going to move in together or not? And I think that, you know, I've often been asked this question, especially since I started being more out about having multiple partners, because of course, I mean, once everyone gets past the scandal and wants to ask about the sex and the jealousy and stuff like that, you know, people start asking the questions of like, well, what about getting married? Yes.
Who
what
do you
about
like the most?
Oh gosh.
Right.
I hate that question. you know, what about getting married? What about having kids? What about moving in together? Like, how are you going to build a relationship? Who are you going to actually move up the relationship escalator with.
Not that they would ask the question that way.
Yes, but that's essentially what they're getting
essentially,
to.
Right,
right. But what about when you want to do a real relationship?
When you really like someone. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is that I don't think it's bad to want to have that sense of moving forward. And I don't think it's bad to want to stay away from things becoming static or stagnant. I think that's actually a good thing. However, I always like to encourage people, you know, instead of just attaching forward progress just to these relationship escalator goals, you know, it doesn't have to be these particular goals that we've been handed by society, but you can still be taking actions to move your relationships forward and to deepen your relationships and expand. And rather than it having to be like, we're just doing this kind of like step up the relationship escalator.
Yeah.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
Yeah, it's like, and I like that sort of wording of like, let's think about how we can deepen this relationship or expand this relationship, or even like how we can each be like developing and evolving and changing in our own lives and seeing how our relationship maybe evolves is another good word, like how it evolves and changes over time. Cause like a relationship where it's just the same now for the next 50 years, like I could see succumbing to a certain sense of boredom or a sense of like, well, what are we doing here? And maybe for some people that sounds great. They're like, no, actually sign me up for that. But I know for a lot of people, that's where you kind of get to that sense of like, where are we going? But I think thinking of like just reframing it to words like evolving or deepening or expanding rather than like, are we moving forward or are we moving up or like, where are we going kind of implies there's a destination that you're trying to get to. And something that I've noticed, which I think really comes up in that question of like, where's this relationship going? Like, where are we going? What are we doing here? What the way I've seen that manifest in a lot of people's lives, my own included, is like, okay, I have feelings for this person. And so if I want to treat this seriously, I need it to keep going forward, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, I value this person, so I want to keep it moving forward. That there can sometimes be this like rush to complete these next steps because you're like, oh, yeah, totally feel ready for this next step. I feel ready for this. And there's sort of this sense of like, we're always like, you know, climbing toward a goal. And then you sort of get to one where you're going to stay for a little while. Like I know for a lot of people, this is like getting married actually is where I've seen this come up with people that I know, with peers of mine, where it's like, we've, you know, worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and had these goals sort of individually and together toward getting married. And then we get here and all of a sudden it's like, wait, like the story we're kind of told sort of stops here at this point.
It's like a happily ever after with no like actual roadmap for what that looks like.
Right. So then either it's kind of like, oh, I freak out about that and everything falls apart. Or it's like that kind of just this like terrifying sense of like, where are we going now? And then that's when people start going like, well, maybe we need to have kids. Right. It's like that.
The kids will solve everything.
Right. It's like, well, we need another goal to get to. And I know people aren't thinking of this literally in this way, but I've just watched so many friends of mine and relations of mine go through a very similar thing of kind of like being so goal oriented that like eventually you run out of goals if your goals are going to follow this one trajectory. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we do want to emphasize that what we are talking about in this next part of the episode are healthy goals. And it is important to have goals in relationships.
But why?
Well, as long as they're like the right type of goals. Not to say that like we are the end all be all of like what the correct and incorrect types
right
of
and
goals
wrong
are.
Might
but
be.
But yeah, okay. So there was a study in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology.
It's definitely the best journal to talk to at a party.
Totally, yes. So, okay, researchers apparently examined the connection between relationship satisfaction and self-regulation. So
I've heard about self-regulation specifically in relation to goal setting.
Oh, well,
like,
there you go.
Because that's part of it. Self-regulation is related to goal setting, and kind of like setting goals is part of how you self-regulate your life and your trajectory and momentum and stuff like
that. I think
that
makes sense, yeah. So apparently it said individuals experiencing higher levels of satisfaction in their relationship exhibit higher levels of perceived control, goal focus, perceived partner support, and positive effect during goal pursuit. So it basically results in higher rates of daily progress on personal goals. So that means like if your relationship satisfaction increases, then your motivation to effectively self-regulate your actions happens and your progression towards achieving your own personal goals happens, which I think makes sense.
So it's kind of like, it's like instead of the goals being in place being the thing that makes your relationship better and more satisfying, it's when your relationship is better and more satisfying, then it's actually possible for you to not only achieve your relationship goals, but also your personal goals as well.
Which makes sense because like if your relationship is in shambles and you're worrying about it all the time, it's probably difficult to like actively and effectively work on your own personal goals. Unless you're just like, I'm shutting all that shit out and I'm not going to think about it and I'm only going to think of my personal goals.
But it really turns on its head. Like, I think that really common thing that we do as human beings of, I guess, putting the cart before the horse there of kind of like having the relationship goal first before we have like the relationship. And I don't mean like before having a relationship at all, but it's like having the goal before having like the satisfying relationship that could actually attain that,
well,
I suppose.
I would argue that, yes, you achieve more satisfaction in your relationship, but it's like, it is to a degree an expansion. It's like, even if you're really intimate with a person initially, you can still like build on that intimacy and you can still get more satisfaction from your relationship over time. And I think, again, like if you set small goals for yourself, like trying to figure out how to communicate better, then that's ultimately going to bring you to a higher level of satisfaction in your relationship and allow other parts of your life to open up.
Yeah, I think, gosh, I think there's like two like super key parts of it. One, I think what you were just getting into and that we're going to talk about in a second here, which is about setting goals that actually have like your well-being and having a good relationship in mind rather than just like meeting some external goalpost of like what success looks like. But if we could rewind even back like a little bit before that, kind of from a philosophical standpoint, what Dedeker was getting at is this idea that like we focus on the goal for this relationship before we focus on just like having a relationship that feels really good right now. And then going on to the next goal. Instead, it's like, oh, well, things might not be perfect now, but that's because there's this goal, right? Right. Like if we get to that goal, things will be better.
Well, and gosh, we do that. But we do that with the rest of our lives.
That's what I was just going to say. We project our happiness into the future. We think that, oh, well, I don't have to be happy now, or like, it's okay that I'm not happy now, or maybe I'm even going to try to make myself less happy now so that I'm more motivated to achieve my goals.
Interesting.
With this idea that like those goals are somehow going to be more worth it in the long run, or that those things are you know, going to then just make you happy on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's very much tied up kind of in this whole philosophy, not just about relationships, but kind of more generally.
Right.
And I'm guilty of all of this for sure. I'm not meaning to say that I'm not, but it is something that I've kind of become aware of.
Yeah.
So I get a lot of people who ask me, we get a lot of people who reach out to the show and ask us, you know, like, okay, so if I'm trying to step off the relationship escalator and trying to forge my own relationships and maybe even be a little bit of a relationship anarchist, what are some good goals that aren't necessarily escalator goals that I could look forward to in a relationship? Or is it all just going to be kind of loosey-goosey amoeba-like and nobody cares what's happening and we all just kind of float around that way?
No, they can be like tangible goals.
Like tangible amoeba.
And actionable.
Yeah, I think that's a good part of it. It's like, is just thinking about like, well, what are things that you actually want? Like, what are things that you actually want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of individually, but also together. So like number one on our list here is planning and going on a trip, like having some specific trip in mind that the two of you are going to work together, like with this as a goal. And maybe that's going to take you a lot of time. Like we've really got to save up money and save up our vacation days and whatever to do it. Or maybe it's something that you can do sooner than that. Maybe it's even just like a little day trip, but whatever it is, it's like, that's a very tangible goal. And it's something that when you've done it, it's very clearly like, look, we achieved that goal. Like we set out together and worked together and pooled our resources to be able to do this thing. And we did it. And we got to have that experience. Right. I think another one that's maybe a little more, almost a little more individual rather than something the two of you would do together, but it's related, which is forming your own independent relationships with your metamors. So this is assuming that you're in a non-monogamous relationship.
And that you both want that as metamors.
And that your metamors are interested in that too.
Just like there's latch onto them and be like, I'm going to like you and you're going to like me.
Be a little metamor barnacle on the side of your head.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I've thought about this where it's sort of like, hey, like I want to reach out and just be like, I would love to have some kind of my own relationship with you. That's not just through our partner, like through our shared partner. But it's just like, yeah, it doesn't have to be anything big, but just like, hey, let's talk every now and then, or like play video games every now and then, or, you know, like something. And that can look a whole lot of different ways. For other people, it's like, you know, it's much more of a, like we hang out every week and we go shopping together and, you know, do our, I don't know, homework together, whatever it is. Doesn't have to be all of that. It could be something else, but just kind of having that goal for yourself, but obviously it's kind of connected to your relationship.
Yeah. So the next one is going to be supporting each other in your individual life goals, which is awesome. Awesome to just do in general. It's really great to have partners that are supportive of one another and that aren't threatened by each other's successes either.
Oh, yeah.
That could definitely be a thing that occurs, I think.
Yeah.
That there's a little bit of envy maybe or jealousy within the relationship if someone is having a really great time for a few years in terms of their like individual goals. But just, yeah, being there for each other when one has successes. Getting to see each other succeed.
Like, you kind of get to share in that then.
Totally.
It's like part of my goal is wanting to support you and then see you succeed.
Yeah.
So, like, that's my goal too now.
Yeah, totally.
It's not just your goal.
So both of us can work on that in some way.
Yeah.
And then also creating, as I said before, a more solid communication foundation. So, and that can mean a lot of things. I mean, we talk about communication all the time on this show, but things like practicing the Triforce of communication, mm-hmm. being able to like speak more effectively in the ways that you want about what you're communicating.
Like getting through a fight in a healthy
halting.
Way. Yeah.
You know, like if I can like I actually like apply halt.
A goal of just like applying a tool that you learned about on this podcast, for example.
Like, you know, this month I'm going to halt and actually like do it instead of trying to push through the halt when my partner calls halt. Like that's a big one for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that one as a goal. Like, I feel like for myself personally in my relationships right now, since I don't have a ton of, like, at least right now, I don't have a ton of, like, very traditional relationship escalatory goals, either in my relationships or for myself personally. But I love having specifically this of just always working on deepening communication and always working on, you know, getting to know each other's little trigger points and getting to know the places where each other really shine when it comes to communication and getting to know the ways that we can support each other and help each other and kind of develop our own language essentially for, you know, for communicating with each other. Like, I really love that because that feels like that's work that's, it's work that is going to go on forever, first of all. But it's work that's always, I don't know, to me always feels like, yes, it has this really wonderful momentum and this, and that sense of like the energy of like expansion and deepening. Like it feels really, really good to me. It feels like a really, really good goal to like always have ongoing. So I really, really like that one specifically. And honestly, I feel like that's what everyone should do, even if you are on the relationship escalator.
Just add that goal.
Or even if you have a much more traditional relationship. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Some other examples of maybe some non-escalator goals include, I'm well aware of this one. You know, when you're in a long distance relationship, it can be like strategizing on the ways to see each other more often. If that's something both of you want, if that's something that fits both into both of your lives and budgets and things like that, but collaborating on things like that. It could be as simple as just learning more about each other. I actually really like this one as a goal for like the very, very early days of a relationship when everything's so heightened and it's a mix of like maybe there's some NRE thrown in there or maybe there's the anxiety of like, is this person going to be compatible with me? Are they going to like me? Do they like me as much as I like them? Or what if I don't like them as much as they like me? You know, and I think that that's where all this anxiety can come up and stress around these kind of early couple first dates when you're getting to know someone. But just having this goal of like, I just want to learn more about this person. And I just want to also show myself to this other person. And just having that goal instead of the goal being, I want to get a second date or... You know,
I see you're talking way early.
I'm talking way early.
See, I was thinking even like a few months in.
Oh, definitely. I think this is another one that has a lot of staying power. But I feel like this is a really healthy one to have on at the beginning of a relationship when things can feel so fraught.
Yeah.
And because it's one, I feel like that's a hard goal to quote unquote fail at. Essentially, you know, especially if you go into into a first date with that's all your goal. It's just I'm going to learn more about this person and also share a little bit of my person or myself with this other person. You know, like it's kind of like setting the goalpost very low, you know,
right?
Instead of saying something specific like I want to take this person home or I want to make sure they're going to give me a second date or I want to, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, or I want to find the one.
Yes.
Right. That puts a lot of pressure on it that you really don't have a lot of
boyfriend.
You don't have a lot of control over whether that succeeds or not.
Yes.
Right. Like another one would be sharing a meaningful experience or an event together. So not just like a trip or some just like let's have a random thing, but more like we want to experience a certain holiday together or an anniversary or going to some kind of festival or maybe an event that's meaningful to you. Like maybe growing up, like you loved your local like state fair. Maybe that's kind of a special event, you know, to be able to experience together. Because that can not only have this sense of like, you know, we have this goal of like, oh, this is a thing we'd really like to do together. You also get sort of the planning of it, which is also exciting and a way to kind of collaborate. But then it's also can have kind of this sort of, I guess, a little bit more traditional feeling milestone-ness to it. It's like, oh, this is our first Christmas together. Or like this, remember that time where we went to your hometown for this thing that you did growing up? Or right, that we made up our new holiday that we celebrate every year, and like that's our thing, kind of like whatever it is that you get sort of like a milestone out of it, and also it can be a goal and thing that you look forward to together. And then last on our list here, this one might be my favorite, and that is to have a goal be doing your first radar together.
Apparently, from what we've heard from some of our patrons, it takes a little while sometimes.
Sometimes. Some people do it real early. Some people wait a while. Yeah. My newest relationship, which has been extant for about a year, I still haven't had a first radar, mostly because I'm scared.
Yeah. No, in my relationship with Caitlin, we went almost a whole year before doing our first radar.
And I don't know if I necessarily recommend that. I mean, I think it's probably better to do it sooner than that. But yeah.
Dedeker, for you, like, I don't know, you do a radar in Japanese.
Yeah, that's part of why I'm scared.
Yeah, I was like, does that make sense?
Even trying to kind of explain it in the first place, I'm like, I'm really whip out the vocabulary here.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you could start by translating our PDF into Japanese, and then you could give that to him, and then, you know.
Be like,
I'm really afraid of the lost in translation moments that would happen as the result of that. Because they've already been plentiful, let me tell you.
Oh, wait, I've got it. Sorry, we're just workshopping Dedeker's relationship, but I've got it. What if, as sort of a couple's activity, you together translate?
Oh.
Like, let's together translate. This
Let's
document.
Together translate. Let's together translate.
Yeah, I think that could be
That could be good.
Sort of a team building exercise.
Okay.
That then also helps explain. And then we end up with a resource of our document being in Japanese.
For our huge Japanese audience.
Hey, we had a show in Japan.
It's true. Our Japanese audience is surprisingly larger than you might think.
Yeah.
Still not large, but larger than you might think.
Larger.
But it's also not a large country, so relatively.
There you go.
True.
Anyway, just as a last note and reminder, Emily did talk about this a little bit, but I think it is so important that like your goals within your relationship, it doesn't always have to be goals created by committee or goals that the two of you have created together. Like your personal life goals are also important. And they're also valid. And they don't necessarily have to be wrapped up in a partner or wrapped up in your partner's life goals as well. I definitely think that that's a really good thing to include when you're having regular check-ins or a radar, that you are talking about the personal goals that you want, whether it's like the goal for this month or the goal for this year or what I want to see in 5 years, you know, if that's the way that you operate. But I think constantly checking in with each other about even those personal life goals is also really important too. So we've covered a lot of ground today. We could definitely cover so much more ground, my goodness. If you want to know more about this, there's a couple of other episodes that I can send you to. You can go back to our episode 100, which was our relationship resolutions episode. And that was a more structured episode, exercise in...
There, we have a PDF for it.
Gosh, we found it. PDF. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I looked at it.
But for being able, you know, we kind of themed it around the new year about being able to kind of come up with some actionable goals or intentions with your partner for the relationship for the coming year. That's definitely related to this. We definitely talked about like relationship goals and relationships that inspire us personally. If you go to episodes 162 and 163, Inspiring Relationships, Part 1 and 2. And then if you want to know more about the relationship escalator, you can go and listen to our interview with Amy Guerin / Aggie Says, who wrote the book Stepping Off the Relationship Escalator. That is in episode 164.
So I'm really interested to hear from all of our patrons what relationship goals y'all have in your life. If you also have been on the relationship escalator in some relationships that you've had, how that's felt, if you've ultimately been like, this is not for me, or if you've said, hey, like, I actually really have been mindful about these things and they are things that I want, we want to hear about it. The best place to share your thoughts with other listeners is on this episode's discussion thread in our private Facebook group or Discord chat. You can get access to these groups and join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can email us at info@multiamory.com. Leave us a voicemail at 678-MULTI-05. Or you can leave us a voice message on Facebook. Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Dedeker Winston, and me, Emily Matlack. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio Balvanera. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. The full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.